Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Oh my gosh. Hey everybody, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you so much. I want to tell everybody that our hearts still go out to the people in Ukraine. We have been trying to contact a parliamentary member, Yuras, since we did the interview with him, and he is very hard to get a hold of. Of course, we know he's in the front lines doing that. And so, you know, amidst the United States and our pop culture and the Oscars and then the Grammys last night, you know, of course, all of the conversations, you know, we like to be in the space we're in now. We've been so hungry for it, but we also like to pay attention to the people that could use our support. And, you know, these are the events that we're seeing now, and it really doesn't matter what side of the political fence you're on or not. There are events happening in our world. They are crossroad events, okay? They are places in life that maybe you don't see them as a crossroad, but I look at them that way. And the reason I look at them that way is because one of the things I discovered, you know, growing up, was that, you know, it didn't matter if we were at a pivotal point in life where the darkness needed just a little light. I mean, we can go back to times where almost every week of the year there was a march, there was a protest. And this was before social media. And what I mean by that is that, you know, we live in a world now where at our fingertips, at our phones, at our machines, whatever you want to call it, we don't call them computers anymore, so it doesn't really much matter. But there is this way that we look at life. And it's interesting because, you know, we are a digital network, and yet we have an interesting policy here. And we basically have a no cell phone policy during the day for our producers. Certainly, if there's personal things you have to take care of, great. But the world of cell phones and digital media is so addicting. And part of what we've tried to do is look at how to create a humane balance between people wanting to stay connecting and staying focused. Because when you are running a show or when you are doing other things, it is so easy to be distracted. But crossroads are important in life. And when you get to the place where you're looking at them and you have to really find what the meaning is and how to navigate them, you may want to take a look at what Danielle Blackwood is putting together, A Lantern in the Dark, Navigating Life's Crossroads, with story, ritual, and sacred astrology. And I love the term sacred astrology. And let me tell you why I love the term, but you're going to hear from her in a minute. But the reason I love the term is there's astrology that we have that's like every day you tap into some website or you tap into an app on your phone. It's going to say, you know, you're like this and today's day is going to be this. That's one form of getting astrology in your veins, right? But there's sacred astrology, and I used to refer to it as esoteric astrology. But whatever you want to call it, there's a sacredness to things and a sacredness to light. But when you're looking at that lantern in the dark, when you are looking at that place where the light can shine, we get to define that. You know, it was interesting for me last night as I was watching some of the Grammys and, you know, certainly looking at the energy of that and watching a group of artists decide that they're going to take their show out of LA to Vegas, and the energy in the room and having people back together, there's not anything quite like it. But yet none of that really dismisses the fact that we need a source and guidance in difficult times. And that's what this is about. That's what Danielle is bringing to the forefront. She is a professional astrologer, 30 years, registered counselor, therapist, private practice, certificates in both Jungian and post-Jungian clinical concepts, all of the above. But she's out here today to talk about what we need to know about these crossroads. You know, best-selling book, The 12 Faces of Goddess. That was a great book. That book's a great book. This book's a great book too. But today, this is where we learn how to navigate. And if you don't think you need some navigation skills, hopefully by the end of today's show, you will have a sense of it. Danielle, it's great to have you.
Thank you so much for hosting this for me today. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks, Dr. Pat.
I want to just hit you up really quickly with a question about crossroads. I mean, you know, I used to think about crossroads as like major, major things. But, you know, I'm starting to look at crossroads as they happen on a regular basis. You know, crossroads. I mean, you may not think having the Grammys in Vegas is a crossroad, but it was a major undertaking. You know, it was, do we come back out again? How do we come back out again? How do we have this fantastic award where musicians, and right now there are more categories in the Grammys than I think there are like, or people that produce them. There's just so many categories. But the decisions that they had to make, they were at a crossroads. And we may not think, really, Pat, the Grammys? Yeah, because it was either going to happen or not. It was clear it was not going to happen in LA. But every day of our lives now, we're faced with things. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do as a business owner, and Jessica and I talked about this morning, was how do we feel about a cell phone environment in audio and producing? And we've done a number of things to look at how do we meet people in the middle of the road? And yet we find that this is, again, one of life's crossroads. You know, what is it that we as people are so drawn to? We just cannot control ourselves, right? And if you ever want to see despair, take a cell phone away from somebody that is so dependent on it. And I want to ask you about this because we are in this world of media and communication, and I think it's a major crossroad, and I think you've got some answers for us, don't you?
I hope so. crossroads, absolutely. I think we're at a serious crossroad in the collective right now, and we have been for the last couple of years. Just all you have to do is turn on the news or you know, look at social media, and you see that there's something big happening. There's a lot of things going on beneath the surface that feel epic. You know what I mean? So there's those kind of crossroads. And then there are our personal crossroads, which is what my book, A Lantern in the Dark, is all about. So what I wrote about are the major crossroads between sort of during those years that you're creating your life as an adult. So the first one being at the first Saturn return, which happens at around age 30, and then taking you through those midlife transits, which are also big crossroads. And then the last one in the book is the second Saturn return, which is between around 58 and 60, which all of these are significant rites of passage that people go through. So what's really interesting is that those things are happening for people all the time, but then we're also at this place in history where absolutely we're, you know, the whole world is at a crossroads right now. So when you layer your own personal times of, you know, those thresholds, as well as what's happening in the world, it's a lot. It is a lot to manage. So one of the reasons why I wrote this book, A Lantern in the Dark, because I had so many of my clients coming to me and just saying, what is happening? What is going on?
Right.
You know, like there's all this stuff in my own life. Yeah. And then there's the turn on the news, and then there's all this other stuff. So that's one of the big reasons I decided, you know, it's time to put this, all this material I have together and put it out so that people can find an alternative way of getting through those dark woods times.
And, you know, this is really what we're talking about. I love that, you know, as I was reading your book and I went back over it again, you know, one of the things I was really struck by was the fact that, you know, you're talking about, I can't remember exactly where in your book, but you're talking about humankind's propensity for meaning making. And I couldn't have said that better. I mean, it's an interesting term, meaning making, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like a hunger. You know what I mean by it's like a hunger? What I mean is that we may or may not be conscious of that hunger, right? And let me ask you this question, because when we go on and we take a look more at what you write, and you talk about how important it is to get clear on your core values. And I think we're being hit with that, right? Mm-hmm. And that is not always, and I want to ask you this question, that is not always such a pleasant place. You know, when you get clear on core values, it may call you to really bump up against your life, your job, right? And you came right out of the gate with that. And can you talk about that for a minute? Because, you know, this is one of these things that we just, one, don't know is important, and two, don't know it's important to help navigate. But you came right out of the gate in the book with that.
Yeah, it was right towards the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's right there.
So, yeah, as humans,
if I might say, okay, here, let me remind you. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. How funny you put that in that core value section and then write it. It's in the solar return section, but it's, you know, I mean, yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really getting to our own core values, like you said, it can be difficult at first, because it's about sorting and sifting and weeding things out. What truly resonates with me? What's really important at the end of the day? You know, so a lot of people feel like, I mean, I love the fact that, you know, no cell phone rule, that it makes so much sense, because we are so distracted by so many things, with social media, with cell phones, with all the rest of it, the news, fake news, this news, that news. But I think that really getting down into what is truly important in your life. You know what I'm saying there? So I think that, yeah, we are meaning-making creatures, and we're always looking for a deeper reason for the things that happen during the crossroad times, during any time in our lives, especially those big times. We're looking at those and we're saying, what's underneath all of this? What is the meaning underneath it? So I think that's what calls us to finding our own stories echoed throughout myth, folklore, legend, fairy tale, and seeing that sort of familiarity and saying, wow, I can kind of feel my own story being echoed through that story. And I think we can get a lot of insight in delving and diving deep into those places.
And, you know, I love the fact that what you did here was you are pulling together major emphasis points in life. And can I just tell you what I mean by that? You know, when we talk about astrology, I just got my solar return looked at and done. And, you know, when I saw the chart come back, so to speak, I was like, what is that? Right. And I just decided, I don't even understand how to make heads or tails of this. And so I called a friend of mine and I sat down and he went over it. And honestly, we only talked about two parts of it, but they were crossroad type parts. And one of the things you say right out of the gate is navigating your Saturn return. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how that is a major navigational threshold, because you didn't waste any time getting to that. You're like, okay, we talked about values. Now let's get to this.
Well, yeah, the Saturn return. Yeah, I know, it's an interesting one. It's one of the biggest milestones in the human lifespan. And what happens, what a Saturn return essentially is that Saturn in the sky is literally coming back to the same sign and degree as it was when you were born. And it does that every 30 years. So it takes approximately 30 years for Saturn to go around your birth chart, around the sun, and come back to where it was when you were born. So you get one around 30, you get another one around 60-ish. And then if you're lucky enough, you get one around 90. So Saturn in astrology is It brings, you know, it's themes like aging, maturity, milestones. It's the principle of reality. It's about needing to look at things not as that you would wish them to be, but as you're willing to put in the work and make them be. You know, it's about manifesting, but manifesting and being willing to do the work. So that's what a Saturn return essentially is. Yeah. And when people have that, those times, all kinds of things start happening, those Saturnian lessons. It feels like a very sobering time when you really are called to look at those core values and figure out what you stand for and what you resonate with, what you're aligned with, and what you want to commit to, most importantly. So in a nutshell, that's what a Saturn return is. And like I said, you get one, you start feeling it around 27, sort of on your horizon, and then it's really in play by 30. And if anyone is past 30, and I'm sure I am, you can look back at that time and say, what was going on for me then? You know, it usually is something that grows us up in a really profound
huge,
way.
Huge, huge way. I'm telling you, when I started to read your book about this, I went back and I was asking Linda about it too. And I'm glad you said 30-ish, right?
Yes.
Because I was thinking about this and I was thinking about what was happening to me in that point in time. And there were a couple of things, and they were so profoundly stark is not the right word, but they were upheaval in a good way. So it's not always, like I got offered a job, work for the phone company. And by the time I was there, I started really young at the phone company. So by the time I was in that realm, I'd already had like 14 years of service, right? And I had been at the edge of my clerkism. Right. And I was offered a position, but up in Merrimack Valley. And I had to leave a relationship. I had to boot everything. I had to pack up and go to a place where it's cold most of the time. And I made that decision to do it. What I realized was I wasn't going to be able to do it. And I was very fortunate to be able to undo it about 8 months later and not destroy my career. But is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
Absolutely.
That was
absolutely
major.
Yeah, absolutely. People come to career junctures at around that time. A lot of people will have their first child around that time, or they'll get married, or they'll end a relationship. And then not too long after, begin a very significant relationship that they stay with for a long time. So it's always something that really says, okay, you know what, this is not working. And maybe it's time you figure out what does work. So it's all about, it is about hard work. I mean, it's truly about looking at the way things actually are, not as the way that we wish them to be, and then saying, okay, what do I need to do to work with this so that I can manifest the life that I want?
And you put in here a magical toolkit for your solar return. Let's talk about this. I don't want to blow by something, though, that you mentioned in the middle of that chapter. And that is, okay, got to have a spiritual practice. Okay, I'm just saying to you right now, like me in my 20s, no. It was more about disco. It was more about like fun, softball parties. Spiritual practice, I don't think I even knew what that was, but now I do.
Right.
Now I do. And I can see how what you're talking about is so important, but you give us a toolkit, don't you?
Yeah, in each chapter, so for each particular juncture that people arrive at around the same ages, there is what I call a magical toolkit. So that will include constructive, practical ways to work through these times. It also includes a guided meditation or a guided journey. What else do I have in there? Different plant allies, herbal medicine that can be helpful at different times. So for instance, during your Saturn return, a lot of people can feel depressed. They can feel low. They can feel really kind of very introverted. And so certain types of herbs can be very helpful for that. St. John's wort, milky oats. I mean, there's a lot of them. But yes, I also have corresponding stones that you might want to carry during those times that resonate with the kind of archetypal themes that come up. Essential oils. What else? I think that's just probably a bit more, but that's what I'm remembering right now.
Well, I have to tell you, there is a bit more, and I'm going to talk about a bit more. Please. Because you put a bit more in here. Thank you for doing that. For those of y'all that just tuned in here, I'm going to hold this up. Jacob, I don't know. Like, I'm using my laptop camera today. You see that? right? You got that. And this is Danielle.
A little higher there, Pat. I'll help you out.
A little high. Thank me, Benny.
There
thank
you
me.
Go. A little, there
is that better?
Go. Perfect. Oh, thank you.
Yep. Back her up. Back
there you
her
go.
Up.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Good. All right.
And we're spent.
Navigate the camera. Gotta navigate that camera. And this is a lantern in the dark. I love the first of all, I love the title of the book.
Thank you.
Because and I love the cover. She looks like you, by the way. I was going to just say that.
Really?
To you. Is that like a self portrait right there? Isn't that funny? But it's not just about this. I want to keep rolling here because part one of the book talks about a lantern in the dark. I want to ask you, in your life, so you don't write a book like this if you don't have some experience. Generally speaking, I haven't come across anybody that does. I want to know how you discovered your lantern in the dark.
That's a really big question.
I know, but I have time before we go to break for you to go for it.
Are you asking me about the story that I wrote in the book?
Yeah. Talk about your lantern in the dark.
Wow. Okay. Well, where do I begin? Well, to begin with, I had growing up, my father was bipolar and had a lot of issues, so to speak. I ended up running away from home when I was just about 17, and I ended up essentially on the streets. I had $15 in my pocket when I got from my little island town to the big city, and I made my way for a long time in my life in the adult entertainment industry, and it was like being in the underworld for many years. I married someone who echoed many of the same themes that my father had, and I extricated myself from that with my young son. And so, yes, I have gone through a lot of different paths. And that's also the time I was around 30 and I decided I need to go back to school. So that's when I, as a single parent with no financial help whatsoever, raising my little boy, I went back to school and I put myself through university. And it was one of the hardest things, as you can imagine. Just trying to manage all of that. And I knew that if I was going to help anyone, I needed to, to find the gold in the shadow.
Yes.
And I'm just not getting the author right off the top.
That's
of my
okay.
Head.
Don't worry about it. I never get them. I'm lucky I got your name.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. My brain doesn't work like that.
I feel honored.
But I love that. I love find the gold in the shadow.
Yes, so do I.
Wow.
And I think that's partially what my book and what the work I do is all about is finding the gold in the shadow in those crossroad times that you have come through in your life and turning that into something that is a strength. So I knew that I wasn't going to be able to help anyone else until I was able to find that gold in my own shadow, in my own life path. So that's kind of how my story went. I graduated with distinction. I was pretty amazing, big thing for me when that happened, because I ran away from home when I was almost 17. So I didn't get a chance to finish high school. So when I finally did go through all of that university, it was a big milestone for me. So here I am.
I'm sorry, I had to ask you that question. I know it's a tough answer, but I knew that if you shared it, it would sort of it would parallel what I've been sharing about my own life, mm-hmm. because I've really Benny and I have been doing this for 20 years together, pretty much. We're almost at 20 years together. It's right around the corner, actually. And when I got sick in 2004, right after I started this, this was the only thing I could do. I mean, all I could do was keep paying for airtime. But I had this vision and I didn't know where it came from. And I haven't looked at my chart back then. I didn't look at 2001, 2002, 2003, and 2004. It'd be interesting to look at that. Because the series of events you couldn't plan. See, I couldn't plan how I got into my doctoral program. I couldn't plan like you, how I survived finding my things on the lawn. you know, at 17, right. I just turned 17, finding my stuff on the lawn, and then going into New York thinking that that's going to be like the sweet place to be. And my God, New York without money is not the place. But the pathway that you carve out for us in your book is so beautifully done and beautifully written that you're always reminding us that there is a lantern in the dark, Danielle. I want to take a short break, but before I do, because we're gonna talk Pluto.
Okay.
I got to, because Pluto, that's all that my buddy wanted to talk about my chart, like Pluto. I'm like, why?
Sure.
But I think Pluto and Uranus, I think, are the two most misunderstood. You know, I'm a Jupiter baby, so everything's Jupiter. It's like manifest, big, you know. So I got like the Sag, three Sages and four Capricorns, my moon, my sun, like over there in my birth chart, right? So, but these other things, these like Venus things, these Pluto things, and by the way, how dare we not make Pluto a planet?
I agree.
Who did that when we come back? But before we go, how do we get a copy of the book, please? I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm like all over the map. I know I am a little.
No problem. Apologize. So you're a Sagittarius? Is that what you just told me?
during the break, I'll share my screen. You can see my chart.
Sure. Sounds good. The book, yeah, you can get it anywhere books are sold. Support your local bookstores first, but it's also at the big stores as well. And of course, you can order it on Amazon. So it's out there. It just was released, I think, 2.5 weeks ago. So, yeah.
Okay. When we come back, navigating. And I can't wait to talk with her about this. Now, many of us have access to things. But this weekend, I was asked how my weekend was today, and I think I just gave a really short answer. It was great. You know, my weekend was about helping another fellow sister in recovery and addiction save her life. And it took a village of us to do that. It took some hard boundaries. It took ways to help her. Maybe it took a little money to make sure we put her up in a hotel. Navigating those waters. Anybody that's in addiction and recovery, navigating those waters are important. And you would be glad to know we are going to put up a channel, a recovery channel. So it's becoming more and more evident to me. But when we come back, this is a beautiful, beautiful way to weave the web of astrology, folklore, story, myth. Thank you, Carl Jung, and so much more. When we come back, Danielle is going to take us on a journey about all the squares. What do those squares do? And what happens when we're navigating Uranus opposition? I don't know how much we're going to get to, but we're probably not going to take a break, Benny. Let's take a short break now, everybody. We'll be right back.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
What could you achieve if you knew someone was going to ask about your progress every week? Accountability matters. Small corrections and check-ins with your goals can lead to big results in your business without you feeling overwhelmed. Success Magnified owner Mary Gall provides entrepreneurs a system of goal setting and accountability to create clarity about where you are now, your future direction, and the most effective way to get there. Book your free call at successmagnified.com today.
Take control over your future. I'm Lisa Belts, and I'm here to help you realize your true potential and become unshakable. Schedule a completely free introductory coaching session with me now to see for yourself how I work. Get the divine guidance that you need to transform your life for the better. Go to lisabelts.com and take that step towards transformation. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Everyday living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
I know. Take a deep breath in. Danielle Blackwood. Let's give out your website again and tell people. I'm sorry, my book is all bent from reading it, so I'm just going to try to hold it like that. Okay, Benny, do I have it? Do I have it?
Yep, oh,
my
you got it, Pat.
Are broken too. Okay. This is a really cool book, and I need to say this. I don't know. Can people call you to work with you? Do you do sessions still?
Yes. Okay. I do. I'm actually a little bit on hiatus because I'm doing all classes right now, but I will be taking clients again. Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't care how we get a hold of you. So classes, how do we do it? I went to your website. How beautiful is this?
Thank you. Yeah. So the best thing to do is get onto my website, DanielleBlackwood.com.
Yep.
And go to I think it's classes and workshops.
Yep,
and
I'm there.
And click on that. Yeah. So I've got a new one. Am I allowed to talk about this right
of
now?
Of course. Yes. Okay. Yes. Please.
I have one that
I love promoting stuff.
I have one I'm really excited about coming up at the end of this month. It's talking about the sacred sensuality of the new moon in Taurus and the solar eclipse that's coming up on actually May 1st. So I don't know if I've got that one up yet, but it will up in the next day or two. Okay. Thanks for letting me know that. Yeah. And, it's going to be one session, really fun, probably about 2 hours long. And I hope that you can all join me if you're interested.
Yeah. That would be so cool because, I know very little about astrology and I'm fascinated by it. And, you know, and all I know is when I do a chart, like I just got this done and I went through phase one of my reading, I have it all recorded and I have to go back and listen to it again. I'm learning new and new things. Now, I didn't really understand and I don't talk about the fact that I have Taurus rising, but apparently that's a big thing. I'm too focused on the other planets on the right side and I've totally dismissed some things. But let's talk about generally, as you take us through the book, it's all about navigating. It's navigating a solar return, but it's also about midlife transits. And then you take us, you know, into a conversation about the descent of the goddess. I mean, I was fascinated. Okay, we're going to do midlife here, but what? Okay, what? Tell us the association of this and how powerful this is, because I've read it. It's powerful, but I think people need to hear it from you.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. I'm happy to talk about it. So between around the age of 37 and mid to late 40s, we are in a period of life called the midlife transits. And what that actually is four time frames that happen one after another between those ages. So I think that if we're at any age past that, we can probably look back at that time and say, yeah, there was a lot going on during those times. So the first one is the Pluto square. So I just don't get hung up on the name so much. We can go into that later if you want to, but let's just think of it as significant rites of passage in your life. I think that's the best way to look at it. But the first one is called the Pluto square. And essentially, Pluto in the sky is making a contentious aspect to the Pluto in your birth chart. Again, if you are not proficient in astrology, don't worry about it. What it is a significant rite of passage where around 37 to 40, we're really in this place where a lot of stuff comes bubbling up. Things that we thought had long been squished down and repressed and dealt with, all of a sudden emerges into the light of consciousness to be dealt with. So it is a time of doing a lot, facing our shadow work, doing a lot of shadow exploration. And, you know, really, I find that throughout the midlife transits, it can be a difficult time for marriages and long-term commitments, because we're really in this place where we're looking at our lives and saying, what did I come here to do? What is my purpose? And sometimes what that means is you start questioning everything and you start saying, is this the right thing for me? Is this the right relationship? Is it helping me grow? So the Pluto time between around 37 and 40, we do find a lot of people releasing anything that's keeping them from growing. And whether that be a career that doesn't really seem to fit, or maybe aspects of a career that don't fit, or a relationship that is just, you know, you've known for years, maybe that it's been kind of a, not really doing much. And it, with, when the Pluto square happens, it's like things come to a head. I don't know if you know so much about tarot, any of you out there, but it's like the Tower card in a sense. Everything just ba-boom, you know, it just comes to that place where you say, okay, you know what? I need to get on my life. I need to, and it's not to say that everyone's relationships comes to an end by any stretch of the imagination, but that's one of the ways that it can play out if that relationship is, has been on shaky ground. So then there's that. Then after that one, we have the Neptune square. So it kind of comes right on the heels of Pluto, and sometimes they overlap. So in a nutshell, the Neptune square is like a time when we are really looking at our own sense of spiritual, ourselves as spiritual beings. We're saying, what do I really believe? It can be a time of spiritual crisis for a lot of people when they start really questioning, you know, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? A lot of people will look back, you know, and say, wait a second, I'm 40 now, which to me sounds so young now, but you know, at that age, at that age, people are just like, wow, I'm 40. And they suddenly realize I'm not young anymore. And they're not old, but they're not in their 20s and they're not in their 30s. And they suddenly say, who was that person I used to be or wanted to become? So it really is a time of soul searching.
Oh my God. Okay. So let's get real about what this looks like. If we could take a moment, and I'm only going to take a moment because I'm going to give you the, what I call my laser view of it. When I turned 40, it started a little bit before that, but by the time I turned 40, I had made some major and significant changes. And one of them was walked away from alcohol completely. That was my date to do that. Why? I don't know. And when I did that, everything changed my perspective. And then as the year went on, I became a maverick in my workplace. I was an executive and nothing looked the same. Nothing looked the same. You know, everything had to be shaken up and turned upside down. Yes. You know, I did go back to school. I did lose my job with that company because I did get a bit outspoken. So, you know, those kinds of things you're talking about, you know, we like to throw women under the bus a little bit here because we like to go midlife crisis, like it's bad. Well, yeah, navigating that for me was, it was challenging. And man, if I didn't go through that and make those changes, I probably wouldn't be here talking with you.
Absolutely.
So it has a couple of sides, right?
Yes, absolutely does. There's all, so that's back to that gold in the shadow piece that we were talking
about.
Gold in
the shadow.
Mm-hmm. So I find that if we don't go through those places, those rites of passage, those junctures, we don't learn what we came here to learn. It's that is how we become who we're becoming. It's how we become the hero or heroine of our own sacred story. So without those dark woods places,
yep,
we wouldn't be who we are. You're right.
Can you talk about this for a minute? Because I've been reflecting on this, you know, as I think about, you know, putting some stories together for a potential mm-hmm. book for myself. But I was going through this, and it wasn't just turning 40. It was a little bit before that, and then it was a couple of years after.
Yes.
I almost like to call that aftershock. You know, people ask me, it's like an aftershock. Everything changed for me. It was like, I left the job 6 months before a pension. I had to, but I immediately went back to Columbia to school, packed up my stuff after that, packed up a truck, moved from Jersey to, boom. By the time 1992 came, my mom passed away. My sister passed away. Mm-hmm. I clear moved across the country. I had a master's degree and I was applying to doctorates. And here I sat in Seattle, really knew one person, but I was so at home.
Mm-hmm.
How
interesting.
Yeah. Tell me it, but I have to tell you, those were leap of faith, courage. How much does that play in this point in our lives?
Oh, that's, to me, it sounds like you're talking about what we call the Uranus square. So that happens around 42 to 44 ish. Yes. And it is like, you use the word aftershock, which is a very Uranian term actually, because it does feel like just everything changes. Whatever has been stuck or stagnant, it moves whether you want it to or not. So what I think is really good is the more that you can find out about the developmental purposes of these times, the more it doesn't have to sideswipe you. It doesn't have to come as like, you know, the universe pulling the rug from under your feet. So a lot of people, I think that if you talk to them, ask them what was happening between around 42 and 44, and they might say, wow. So with Uranus, we always have, there's an old adage that is expect the unexpected. And it really does tend to coincide with that time where things just happen seemingly out of the blue. But in hindsight, you look back and you say, okay, I get it now. I get why that had to happen in order for me to move to that next chapter in my life.
You know, and it's interesting because I recommend, and maybe Danielle, you can recommend this. You know, you can go get your charts done. You can get things done online, but that's not going to tell you what you've got in the book, because one of the mm-hmm. things you do, and I want to talk about Pluto square for a moment, if we could.
Sure.
I said I would talk about that, and I was just reminded. I love how you've given us the magical kit for Pluto square, but Pluto square is like a thing, and I don't know what else to call it, but it's mm-hmm. a thing. And I wanted to talk with you about that for a minute and what the meaning of that thing is, because I was talking with someone about myself and, you know, this year and so forth. And the interpretation of my chart initial reading was right on with the things I want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I've never had so much of an emphasis in certain planets. I'm more used to give me Jupiter, right? I'm more used to, but this time it was different. And I want to talk about the idea of a square and especially Pluto. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Sure. A square in astrology is an aspect. And basically what it means is that two planets or archetypal energies are in a contentious relationship to each other. So that's what a square is. So if you have something that is square in your chart or in your transits coming up, it means that there's something that you need to integrate, that you need to work out, that you need to look at and do some work around. So that's a square in a very small nutshell. I could talk about that probably for hours. But and the other thing you wanted to talk about is the Pluto square, which again, it starts anytime between 37 and 40, people get what we call the Pluto square, which is that time, that thing, like you said. Really, it's about stepping into our own power. It's about shedding old skins, letting go, releasing, getting rid of anything that just is not fitting us anymore. So that's sort of the beginning of those four midlife transits that we talked about earlier, the Pluto square. Everyone gets these transits at around the same ages. Everyone will get them in their own ways, depending on their own life specifics, what they came here to learn. But But we look at the archetypes of, say, Pluto. So Pluto is power, it's the underworld, it's transformation. Pluto is essentially, at the end of the day, Pluto is transformation. So whether that be through letting go of something, whether that be through an ending or a death, that does happen too for a lot of people. My dad actually passed away right on my Pluto square. So it's like letting go of mm-hmm. things so that we can step into that authentic sense of self and holding our power gracefully and being able to move into that next phase of our life.
You know, it's interesting. We're talking about this. You know, I remember the first time I ever had an esoteric reading in my chart, and my astrologer at the time looked at my birth chart and how did Ann put it? Something like, well, this is kind of boring, but don't worry about it. Take a look at every one of your returns and you will really get excited. For the first time, there's things that show up that are baffling. For example, the moon is like really like everywhere in this return for me. Sun, moon, rising sign features, sun and Sag, right? It goes on to tell you sun in fifth house, ruler of rising sign. And then I thought I was done, but then it goes on sun in a strong square with the moon. I don't even know what that means. So, I mean, it goes on sun in strong square with Neptune, moon and Pisces. I mean, it's like, okay, is this the only thing in my moon in strong conjunct with Neptune, moon in sextile with Pluto. And then I was reading your book and I'm like, okay, this is about a square thing with Pluto. I don't even know what this is, but you see, it opens up a dialogue to really want to find out more. So I was going through your book and I was like, oh my God, wait a minute. Don't be hasty. Okay. That's a good thing. That's good. And then I'm reading Become a Social Justice Activist. I love the way you're bringing in psychosocio, right, aspects in astrology to really help us identify and determine what we're really navigating here and then what the heck to do about it. Because that, in my opinion, that's what you've done. You know, you've bring in the union aspects of this, some archetypes, some rituals. But in the end, you're saying, if you're here, you can do this.
Yes, it's all about how it plays out in the real world and what we came here to do. And I think you're talking about becoming a social justice activist. Mm-hmm. I believe that's in my Uranus opposition chart.
It is.
Chart
that's because, totally right there.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course, it's there.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, when they're having any kind of Uranus transit, they're suddenly thinking about community. They're thinking about the bigger picture. They're like, what can I do to help? What can I do? You know, what kind of cause can I join to make a unique contribution in the world? So that is one of the things. But yeah, you're right. I mean, these are all transits that happen in our lives, but it's about where the rubber meets the road. And what can we do in our lives to learn what we're going through, but also how can we apply that in the real world and where can that take us?
And I love the way we get to look at this. Like, I got a really closer look at Uranus in my 10th house in this return. And, you know, what I found fascinating about it as I was reading about it, I'm like, yes, that's exactly what I'm planning for this year. You know, dramatic changes in my life path. Yes, I'm planning.
Even you saying Uranus is transiting your 10th house, the 10th house is essentially about career, life path. It's like your public self, right?
That's right.
Uranus is like the principle of change, radical change and you know, upheaval, making something new, revolution. So Uranus moving through your house of career is going to say that you're going to be doing some new things. And I mean, definitely within the career sphere, but it's going to reverberate through, let's face it, through the rest of your chart, through the rest of your psyche. It's not like just something happens in your career and you don't feel it in other parts of your life. So And that's exciting. That's
it is exciting. It is exciting because, you know, as I was hearing about this, I was, you know, Jessica and Linda will tell you, there isn't a week that goes by that I don't walk in and say, I've got to get back out in the public again. And that's what Monty was saying to me about the next 4 years. He's like, let me just be very clear. This is yours to do again. But you see, I'm excited about it. And a lot of people don't get excited when they see a planet like Uranus, or they hear a Saturn, or they hear, right? But the way you're presenting it gives people options to really bring their best self forward.
Any transit can be, you know, depending on how you approach it, can be positive, it can be negative. Depends on how conscious you are, it depends on how willing you are to look at it and say, okay, how can I make the best of this? What is it trying to teach me? What archetypal qualities are trying to come through that I need to bring into the world with this particular, you know, so Uranus in your 10th house. So I would say, what do you want to revolutionize in your public life? Yes. That's how I would sum that up in one sentence.
That's it. Because, you know, while we were developing and building, I was behind the scenes. But most of the important thing I want to say about this, Danielle, and what you've done is I love that. I just want to go back over this. Meditation, stories, and rituals for life's crossroads. And I love how you've left that objective open to people to decide what a crossroad is and isn't. Because sometimes the world of psychology, you know, the world that I studied, sometimes we're a little bit more restrictive on what we call a crossroad. And I must say, there's not many people that I know of that has not gone through major, minor, medium crossroads over the past 3 years, right?
Turning points, absolutely.
Turning points. I mean, the Grammys in Vegas, who knew? Who knew? But you see, they made it happen. You know, they weren't going to not make it happen, right? They looked at the life situation in the world and they made that happen.
It's like pivoting.
And I wanted to ask you about this too in the last couple of minutes we have left.
Sure.
There are things we didn't get to talk about, but I will tell you, my second Saturn return, totally like you talked about in the book. In the last couple of minutes we have left, I'd love to hear you talk to our audience about the importance of positive navigation through what could be dark waters.
Absolutely. Yeah. Any of these transits or crossroads can be navigated positively. And I think, like I as mentioned, I think earlier, I think first thing to do is learn about where you're at. You know, what does it mean to be in your second Saturn return, for instance? Read a little bit about that and contemplate it, think about it. And then ask yourself, how is this playing out in my own life? What can I do to really make the most out of this time period? Because everyone's going to get their second Saturn return between 58 and 60. And I think, using all the tools, using the guided visualization, reading the stories, spending that time in reflection. I think that those things can really help you get an overview and increase self-awareness. And in doing that, you go through it. And again, we come back to that gold in the shadow piece, right? Because then we're able to actually get the best out of it and look at it as another chapter in our unfolding sacred story that is our life.
You know, thank you so much for this. I mean, you have not looked at my chart, but everything that you've talked about in terms of transformation, you know, basically is what's been listed here and written down. I don't know if you know this, but the network that we launched is the Transformation Network, and you're actually being heard on Transformation Talk Radio.
It's so exciting.
It is exciting. And you know, when we read things like radical transformation, people may go to a place of fear, but sometimes we have to have a little bit of upheaval in order to create that next level, right?
Yes.
You know, it's very difficult to plant in hard soil. Sometimes you have to turn it over.
I love that. That is a great metaphor.
Yeah, but you made that really clear in your book, right?
Thank you.
So Sometimes you can turn it over with the shovel, and other times you got to get that rotor tiller. You got to get Uranus.
Yes.
Danielle, thank you. Give us your website again, and again, tell people how they can get your book.
My website is danielleblackwood.com. You can email me at danielleblackwood@gmail.com. But send me a message. I'm happy to hear from you. Mm. And my book, you can find pretty much wherever books are sold. I always tell people, try your local bookstores first. It's also on Amazon and the big bookstores as well. And I've got classes, lots of classes coming up regarding the material in this book, but also the one that I've got on May 1st, which I'm really excited about, coming up very soon.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.